you like it.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm like Kate it? Wolf, and today I have returning guest Brenda Castano is here. Did I say that right?
Or yes, you said it correctly.
Don't you say it? Isn't there a more beautifully ethnic way of saying it?
Yes. In Spanish, my last name is Castaño.
See, I knew yes. it was. Yeah, Castaño.
Yeah, Brenda Castaño. I have a little like line.
The
Enye, right? Enye, the Enye. But in American culture, we don't have the Enya, so I took it away when I was younger because I was like, dude, people are not going to know how to spell my last name.
No, I like it. Brenda Castaño is so beautiful. So I would bring it back. I would.
Bring it back.
You're Brenda Castaño.
Why don't you bring it back?
And Brenda Castaño and I are for real co-hosting an event November 21st.
Yes.
We last podcast I said it was going to be in Garwood, but it's going to be in Island where we're podcasting. Once you you have to go to Eventbrite basically to get the address and so on and so on.
To get the ticket, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But the tickets are on Eventbrite. I'll be posting it on social media. It's $55 a ticket. It's about 2.5 hours. Only 25 people can fit, but it's a Phoenix Rising workshop. And we were just discussing what Phoenix Rising means. And I'm going to have you lead. We both just had a discussion.
Yes, so we were talking about, because there's a lot of ways we could define the Phoenix Rising. And for me, sometimes I like a little bit of definitions because we all think in different ways. So I was thinking, okay, the Phoenix Rising could be awakening from sleep, being aware that you deserve to be happy, or rebirth, like you were saying, like Kat was saying before, that it was getting up every time you go down.
Yes.
So it is very powerful to know that we are in the most powerful time on earth. They say there's souls that are dying to come onto earth because this time is so magical. We are awakening from the time of sleeping. The goddess within all of us is waking up, not just women, men also. I know you wanted to speak a little bit more about that, Kate.
Yes, and I also want to say we are in this magical time, and yet my listeners know I've been in and out of the ER. So in this magical time, a lot of deep traumas are surfacing, but for us to heal. It's not to take us down. It might feel like that at the time. It's because, by the way, since the last time I podcasted, I was in the emergency room again. Brenda knows because we missed a meeting because of it. But the reason why was because I was trying a medication that didn't work with me, and I have happily landed that marijuana is the medication for me. I have it legally. It's going through. Yes. I got notice.
Yes.
But it's so funny how so many people judge this plant medicine, and I used to as well. And it really helps so many of us, whether it's with anxieties or seizures or stomach issues. I'm so grateful. I'm no longer going to go to the emergency room because I am now going to finally just accept it's weed and Klonopin that really helps
me. It's so interesting since we talked about that you had your nervous breakdown.
I wouldn't call it a nervous breakdown.
Or it
shattering.
Or feeling that you can't control your thoughts.
It was more of an unraveling of the defense mechanisms. Mm. Because when we say, you know, it's like breakdown or is it a breakthrough? It was one of those. But there's so much that comes with that word.
I understand.
Breakdown.
Yes.
And women have been pinned, and men, as crazy and as have been called mentally ill in names for actually just being very sensitive or emotional or having really in tune gifts. So I have a reaction to that word. But in my shattering of delusions, we'll say, that were inflicted upon me from not just my childhood, but historical wounds that have been in the soil for centuries that we're healing.
You know, it's so crazy because since you had, you told me about it, I teach sound healing, and one of my students last night, she was like, I've been coming in and out of the hospital myself, and then my friend just called me. He's like, yeah, my brother, I had to take him to the hospital, he was going crazy, or like
we say that we have to stop, and I get it,
I agree,
but
don't
apologize. We have to stop as a collective because we hurt ourselves, and I still do it. Yeah. I still go. Well, it's funny, when I was being let out of the hospital, he said to me, one of the psychiatrists or social workers, he was like, "Do you think you're mentally ill?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to go home and channel the mermaid realm. So what do you think?" And he looked at me and he was like, "You do that as a job, right?" I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "I think you're not mentally ill." I was like, "Okay, thank you."
So, okay, can we give it another word instead of being mental? When I don't want to say.
I think it goes beyond that, Brenda.
It is. No, it is. It's awakening. And that's what we're talking about right now. Is
awakening is scary.
It is. And the thing is that we're going into a world that is unknown. The world of where, seriously, you guys, I believe in telepathic communication.
100%.
I believe that we can move objects with our minds. I believe in telekinesis. So the understanding, I guess, right now for vocabulary, what is normal, we call it crazy or that. And like, if we, of course, I understand vocabulary carries energy. Everything's energy and vibrations. Mm. So we are awakening right now. And seriously, there's so many people ended up in the hospital because they don't know what to do. They're getting scared of their own abilities. They're getting scared of hearing voices. They're getting scared that they're seeing stuff. So as you are awakening into this magical new world, people call it 5D or what it is, but we are
7 or 10D, yes, or whatever vision you see.
To think about it, we're not our bodies. We are a soul. We are evolving. And what is evolution? Evolution comes in multiple ways. Mm. And some of those ways are through your mind. And the thing is that some people do not meditate. Some people do not control their thoughts.
It's beyond that. Yes. People are, because part of what connects the ER and the mentally ill and crazy to the spiritual is that people are, a lot of people, most of us are still in trauma. A lot of us have gone through a lot of things that we don't deal with or discuss or don't want to relive. So we'd rather push it away. So in order to wake up, you also have to revisit the crime scene, as Jeff, one of my teachers, would say, and re-feel it to heal it, which unfortunately/fortunately, it's like a time machine for trauma, where you can go back finally and as the adult sit with that young child who experienced that trauma. But it's very hard, and I went through a lot as a child, and I also am very sensitive. I feel the Mother Earth's pain and the cries with what's happening at the border and what's happening with some communities don't have clean water. And then there are just countries where there's plain old rape going on of 11-year-old girls and they're calling it marriage. So I feel this in my bones, and all of us, men and women alike, we feel this, but we're crazy if we actually talk about the pain or the other realms we see. And I think we just need to just really start being more steeped in love and non-duality, which is one of the cards I just pulled for you. It was none.
Yes.
It was none, the Hebrew letter none. And it really, in my eyes, stood for sisterhood, brotherhood, and non-duality and community. And non-duality, it's, there's no more victim blaming. It's, we are all one. So, and if we are a reflection of the universe, and if we are the universe experiencing itself, it's like, well, okay, I have my perspective as Kate, but we have to take in and include everyone's necessary perspective. We are one. You can still be you and be steeped in your body and in your personal experience, but it's so easy to become the victim and bad guy, good guy. And it kind of said that in when we read more into what the nun meant.
Yeah, it's all about the angles. And to know that we are all walking around with different lenses of colors, depending on our childhood, our traumas, our experiences.
Past lives. Our multifacetedness.
Our lineage, our family. And
our cosmic alien, maybe even lineage. It's like so multifaceted, you know?
Yes, and we're carrying all of this stuff with us. And we, at this moment in time, we are being called to look at each other and release the judgments and release
and look within, right? So if someone is hurting you and you want to blame, it's really just a mirror to go, what's my blind spot? What's going on in me that I'm not seeing that I can see so clearly in this person? I also want to say, I kind of want to go back to our event real quick, and then we can go into non-duality. It really is for men and women, because that's what you were trying to get at. And, and claiming that Phoenix power and claiming the inner goddess and the inner god within, whether you're a male or female, it's really about balance and harmony, which was also represented in your nun card that I pulled for you from the Kabbalah deck. So I think we're harmonizing in our event. It's trying to balance, but through calling on the goddess of fire within men and women, because it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to feel insecure and to want to have millions upon billions of second chances. And it, and that's the Phoenix energy. You can always rise again. This is an eternal dance of that's constantly evolving and shifting. So Phoenix energy is so loving and beautiful, but I love fire goddesses. Kali is such a deity that I, an archetype that runs through me and I know runs through you. Yes. Well, I'm sure, maybe Kali. I don't want to say that. Do you relate to Kali or no?
A little bit.
What goddess or deities do you really call on? I call on, by the way, I do Hanuman. I call on him a lot. I call on a whole council, aliens, mermaids, but I'm curious who you call on.
You know, it's so interesting.
Arcturian aliens, Lyrans. I feel like I have to give all these shout outs.
My thing for me is that I am a feeler. I'm still trying to open a little bit my throat chakra. So what I do is just connect with the universe.
No specific deity necessarily?
No, it's just like this big, vast openness.
Source?
Yeah, it's a source of... It's like the like energy, because at the end for me, like deities, we are energy, all of us. We are all one, and we just vibrate at different frequencies. So I feel
have unique soul songs.
So for me, it's like the universe. Like I encompass.
So you just go in almost to a place that's way more impersonal. It sounds like
without definition. And it's just like...
That's interesting. That's how you pull. Well, let me talk about what you do. So those of you, whether or not you're interested in our event or can even attend because you live near us, Brenda, first of all, is co-owner of Aquarian
Yoga in Westfield. Yes. But actually, last year, I sold
it. Oh, you sold it?
I sold it.
You're not owner at all anymore?
Not at the moment.
Do you still work there?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I teach sound healing. I've been teaching sound healing there for 5 years. And I had the privilege of owning the studio last year for a whole year. It's a beautiful experience.
I think that's about when we met.
Yes.
We met a little before you purchased it.
Yes. And it's a beautiful experience. It's just a small for two people to make money. And my partner, Danielle, she wanted to quit her job and pursue like ownership of yoga. And she has 3 kids. And as a teacher, she was going to leave her pension, leave health insurance, all to be a yoga studio. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to support this dream. It's like, wow. Yeah. You know, because some people, they want to feel like they cherish more stability than like creativity and taking an adventure as owning a yoga studio over having a pension and being a teacher and having the salary.
Well, first of
crazy.
All, you know, there's no one better path over the other, but let's just get back to you with the sound healing. No, seriously, Brenda's one of the most talented. I don't know if you'd call yourself a sound healer. I don't know the technical name, and I'd love for you to describe what you do. But I just experienced, so we did an exchange. I read Brenda's cards and gave a non-dual Kabbalistic healing. And she gave me a full-on sound healing session with, and some of her bowls that I want you to describe are, first of all, they're ridiculously expensive, but they're just like crystal bowls that vibrate at this frequency that like, I mean, it tuned me into like ancient Egypt and portals and alien. I mean, it was insane. She's so good. Your whole body rings in a certain way. I'm going to let you describe it more.
Yes.
But if you do come to our event, or if you don't find a sound, like suppose you live in another country or across the country, you have to try out sound healing.
Oh my God, sound healing.
It's so good.
So I've been teaching sound healing for the past 5 years. I got into it through another teacher. Her name is Dana. She has a studio down the shore. Mm-hmm. And I was going through a very bad times at that moment. And I would go to her class. And after her class, I feel like a big reset. I could go to class with heartbroken. I could go to class upset. I could go to class like having a big problem in my head. And then I leave there and it's like, I am at ease. I am at peace. So I've been teaching 5 years. My sound healing helps with anxiety, depression, rashes of skin. It helps if you don't sleep. Also to help you understand that you're not your body. And for you,
well,
like,
you are your body and you're also more.
Yes, yes. But your soul, you're able to raise above and you could feel the difference between your body and your soul. So you could feel the vibrations. These bowls, I have especially an alchemy bowl that is oneness. It's like eternal love and it just makes your body vibrate to another level and you just feel it all over your body. It's like, it's really beautiful. It's deep. I love it. It's just frequencies. I brought today the throat chakra, the third eye. Oh my God, the third eye was so powerful. And then I brought the root chakra and the alchemy ball. It was just like,
it was incredible.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is, you know, I'm this lucky person who gets to lay on my couch and have you do that. But I feel like I could feel my entire neighborhood, literally the vibration changing, not just in my house, but it sound and vibration moves. And there's a certain frequency to these bowls that's almost it's otherworldly.
Oh my God,
it's these crystal bowls, and Brenda knows obviously how to work with them. It's an instrument, you know? It's very much like working with a musical instrument. She creates this song and feels into the people's energy in the room at the same time into what they need and what bowl needs more, you know, resonation. And it was amazing. And some of the notes in the bowls go so deep and, some go higher like church bells. And it's hard to fully explain unless you really experience it, but it does feel like it almost makes time limitless and such. I mean, time already is an illusion to some degree, but like it's amazing what that kind of vibration can do.
Yes, I have figured out, I have had my bowls over 5 years, and I have figured out which bowls plays with what. And some bowls, what they do, the interference, they create a sound where you're able to transport your mind, your thoughts to another dimension. I've been able to experience it even myself. I'll close my eyes and let them sing. And it just takes me to this place that is just like expansive and
beautiful,
all-encompassing. And in there, you rest so much that your body, your molecular structure is healing. Wow, you are expanding your thoughts, your mind, healing and releasing trauma.
Exactly.
And opening your chakras. Each bowl represents a chakra. So you're opening your chakras and just releasing stuck energy out of your body, releasing what no longer serves you, opening up to another level. There, I feel like sound is...
When did you become a sound healer? When did that enter your life?
Like around 5 years ago.
Okay. How'd that happen? Did you have a sudden awakening or?
I found the studio. So I found the studio that did sound healing and it was just so amazing.
Which one?
Soulful Awakenings down in Belmar.
Oh, okay.
So I went there and then the bowls just, they were healing me. They were like, I don't know, they talked to me and I became obsessed with them. And I was like, I needed to open a studio. I need to give this to a lot of people. And I was like, how am I going to do it? And one of my friends pushed me to buy them. And I never played them before. And I started playing them intuitive. And
wow, you did that intuitively?
Yes. I learned how to play them myself because I asked Donna if she could teach me. And she was like, no, I can't teach because it's intuitive.
I love that you intuitively felt into it. I think that's so special and talks about how it's so meant to be what you do. Yeah. One of the things, because that's like people who can self-teach how to play the piano or whatever. Like that's amazing and good to know. Keep going. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it is like actually interesting. Now you're thinking, I haven't thought that much into it, but yeah, it just sound for me in a way is everything. The way it makes you feel, it just changes your vibration. If you're having a bad day, even if you have a heartbroken, if you having an exhausting day, if you're tired, if you can't sleep, you just play this sound crystals and they just take everything away. And it's like a big reset. It's just, they're magical. I feel like sound is the medicine of the future. They even said that the pyramids of Giza were built with the sound frequency. Sound is everything in a way.
Well, it just reminds us that we are all, once again, unique vibrations, soul songs. We're frequencies doing this collective dance. We have these individual songs and then these collective songs. It's like symphonies and notes. And, you know, so as you tune up with these ancient devices that you've learned to play really beautifully, it feels like you're tuning up. It's very deeply healing. It's definitely a method that I was only introduced to probably about 4 years ago, maybe four or five. And immediately I could feel the importance of these crystal bowls and the sound healing. It was, it's really unreal what happens in that room and how it goes through you, like it's like in your left ear and then it's going into your right. Like it's really,
they're magical,
beautifully crazy. Yes. We'll use that word in that way of how it really enters the sound of the bowls. It enters your body in a whole way that you almost don't, like the first time you do it, you're like, what is happening? Like, right. It's a new, it's not even a language. It's just, it kind of is. It's the language of sound and frequency and tuning your body into more of who you really are, because, you know, the air is thick with a lot of these wounds and these collective traumas that we're swimming in as a society, as a world. And things like sound healing, it's like a cleanse almost. It's like a quick tune up.
It's so good that you said that, because as you were saying that, if we think about it, the vibration of traumas or the vibration of pain compared to the vibration of love. So there are different frequencies. So once you go into the higher frequencies, you go into love, acceptance, like that's the frequencies which it's vibration, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, somebody that's maybe really hurt, has a lot of trauma, and goes into like a sound healing, which is higher, what it's doing is shaking up all of that stuck energy, shaking it to the point that it's like washing your dishes and the dirt is coming off, like little by little. It's like, and that's what sound healing is doing to all of us, with pain, with trauma, even with muscular pain, with your bones. It's just vibrating it to the point where it becomes its natural state. And it helps with diseases. Like I said, anxiety, like people that can't sleep, overthinking, and just relaxing. It's just like they're magical.
and not just anyone can do it. And that's why I respect, I mean, you have a gift. And I think, and I think treating yourself seriously as an artist and not, because sometimes you're almost flippant about like, and first of all, I've only experienced a couple studio sound healings and everyone professionally was great. But you really do have to know how to do what you do. It's an art form. Yes. Like not just anyone can do what you do. And I think it's important that you own that, because first of all, these bowls are very expensive and very sacred.
Yes. You have so
to
invest
to do this kind of art. It's really like buying a grand piano, investing in these things, right? Yes. It's money. It's musician money. In a sense, a healing musician.
Yes. And the things that you got to take care of them, like you said, everything's alive. They're crystals, they're vibrance, they're frequency. And at the end, I am I am a channel for the higher self to come through me and to interpret my energy into the crystals and to heal everybody. So it is a combination of like everything. And like you say, it is, like, I never thought about it, but it is like an art.
Yes.
It is an art that I guess, yeah, not everybody can do it. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think, well, part of what came through in your healing is owning you more. Being more you with the letting yourself be bigger finally.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
You know, yes. And that's something I do. I don't know.
Well, it's almost frowned upon to have confidence.
Yes.
Especially, I mean, maybe men feel the same way, but I feel like a lot. It's like, if you, it's like, then you're like a bitch or a diva. So if someone gives, if someone says to me, you're really talented, and I go, oh, thanks, I know. It's like, ew, bitch. But I think I said, you said that to me, right? You were like, oh, you're really talented. I was like, oh yeah, I know. Thank you. And it's almost jarring to hear a woman accept a compliment so boldly.
Indeed.
So I think part of what you're doing and a lot of the collective men and women is allowing yourself to love yourself and appreciate your unique gifts. And I've been thinking about like what to call this, but it's like, be your unique vibration or just frequency, whatever you want to call it.
It goes right along with our workshop. The Venus rising is the goddess within you, and honoring it. By honoring it is that saying, yes, I am this, I am that. Like taking pride over your beautiful essence.
And man that, or woman.
Yes.
The goddess within man
the or
woman.
Within.
And maybe for some, it's going to be claiming their God. Maybe some people have already claimed their goddess, but they're ready. You know, because as a woman, sometimes it can mean, it's so interesting how we identify with genders. But I've loved in really embracing also my inner masculinity.
Yes.
As a woman. So embracing the Phoenix rising, it's not Phoenix goddess rising, it's Phoenix rising. It can really be the male or female fire within and just letting yourself be you. It's about clearing away via fire these old delusions that tell you can't be who you really are, that you're bad or you'll get in trouble or you'll get beat if it was really bad or you'll get molested if you had something like that. So we have shifted our shapes and we've played small and we've exiled certain places as a way to survive. And for me, the Phoenix rising, it's the God and goddess in balance, that Sri Yantra dance of being who you are and getting ready for real intimacy with yourself and acceptance, but also getting ready to really enter a kind of partnership and love where you're really yourself, where you're not, oh man, I fucked up again, or I shouldn't have said this, or I should. It's first learning to love who you are and accept who you are.
Yes, that word just came up, acceptance. The idea that we walk around not accepting who we are because we feel like we're going to be judged. We feel that somebody is not going to accept who we are and they just going to, I don't know, what is this fear? Because I feel it within myself also.
If it's real deep, it's I will die, I will get beat. No, I'm not even joking. I mean, I know you're laughing probably as a defense, but when you're in that much of a bad childhood where if you act whatever way you get beat because of it or molested or raped because of it, you learn that who you are is bad or maybe even deserved that beating or that abuse. Yeah. So it goes really deep into the soil of trauma. So we're all collectively, man and woman alike, it's no versus at all. We are learning how to heal the trauma between, I think, the dance of the divine mother and father within. And so many of these households have hidden abuse that, you know, then we put on these facades as we walk around and no one's really talking about the pain that we're going through. When I was in the emergency room, they didn't put me in a room. I was in the hallway and I was like, I mean, everyone in the ER heard what I had to say, but I was like, how is no one else feeling what I'm feeling right now with the mother crying out the way she is, with these mass shootings? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With all of it, with what's going on with pedophile rings, Israel, Palestine. I could go on forever. Communities not having clean water, innocent black people being shot and put in jail, people treating marijuana like it's this drug when many are using it just to survive and as plant medicine. There are so many injustices. And yet in your card that you got, the nun, they were talking about injustice being a little bit lighter when you add compassion to yourself first. Because we're seeing all these things and it hurts. But what I realized, I think, in that emergency room is just even more compassion for who I am. I am so sensitive and in tune to these energies that I have to not override my limits. I forget how much I'm always working with. And I had an experience recently with my incredible friend, Khalees Hawkins. She's this amazing comedian who's also a single mother and just also really tuned in. You have to meet her soon.
Wow, I can't wait.
To these energies. So we did this kind of, I don't know if I should be even talking about, I don't think she'd mind, but we did like a mushroom kind of ceremony thing. And what ended up happening was she opened up a gift that she's always had but shut down. I hope it's okay that I'm sharing this. I'll get to the real gist of it. But she basically has superpowers and abilities that are amazing that she had shut down. And as she opened them, and at first it was scary for her and she'd scream as she saw all the beings that are in this house.
Oh, wow.
But I ended up holding her hand and believing her. I think I was one of the first people to say, I don't think you're crazy. I believe you. The beings you're describing are beings I work with. She described a being, Froggy Fruz. I literally work with a frog man like being. I have him painted on my wall. She saw him walking around and was at first. And I was like,
so
no,
awesome.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But it was beautiful for her because she has this gift that was like looked at as crazy and not ever really heard. And it was beautiful for me because she saw me and I saw her as the goddess she is. And she saw me as the goddess I am. And like I saw her abilities and her powers and she saw mine. And I think the more we hear each other and believe each other and discuss our trauma and our pains that we're sharing, the more we can actually just be who we are
and hold space for each other, because I feel like that's very important, to be able to hold a safe space where you feel like you're not gonna be judged and be in nature, be comfy. I feel like those plant medicines, they're just it right now, they're awakening us, they're helping us with our Venus rising.
Well, I've never done ayahuasca, but I would love to. You described it last time, but how would you describe the difference in that medicine to something like shrooms or marijuana?
Well,
what is the difference?
Basically, grandmother. I call her grandmother.
Not mother, it's grandmother?
Grandmother.
Why not mother?
I don't know.
It feels more like a grandmother?
Yeah, it's a grandmother. And my community.
Would you describe shrooms or marijuana as mother?
No.
No. I can't wait to hear you describe each one.
They're supposed to be actually grandfather. So a grandma.
What?
Yeah. Grandfather.
Shrooms and marijuana?
Yes. So
no way.
A grandmother is ayahuasca and grandfather, I believe his grandfather, is shrooms.
Really?
So shrooms, you know how shrooms.
She saw an old man come through.
Ooh.
What? But a lot of things came through. Keep going.
So shrooms help you. You know how a shroom is kind of shaped like a penis in a way?
Yes.
So it helps
you're
a
right.
lot with your sexuality. Oh my God, it's so crazy. I did a ceremony.
But if you have sexual trauma,
exactly.
It could really help you heal.
It could help you heal. But it could also go towards the other way. It could you, it could bring it up. Mm-hmm. But remember that sexuality is part of who we are. And the thing is that of the Venus rising, we have to start owning it and healing it. So with the mushrooms, you're healing that part of your sexuality, which for me, it was very powerful. With grandma, shrooms just show you. They don't guide you. With grandmother, she guides you and she talks to you softly and gently. The shrooms, they're like, this is what it is, and I'm not going to explain. You got to explain. You figure it out yourself. So you end up in the middle. You're like, you could either cry.
Would you suggest for me trying ayahuasca?
Yes, she's very.
Can you
human.
Do small doses? Like, you could. can you choose to go?
Yeah,
because when I even attempt any shroomage at all, I do very small microdose. I don't go full.
Yeah, because you're
can
very
you do
sensitive.
That? Yes, yeah, exactly. Yes. Or I shoot out.
But just remember that you can't be under any medication, which is perfect. Okay,
so, you can't be on any medication.
Any, especially.
So wait, to do ayahuasca, you can't be on like. What could, about marijuana? And
on
stuff
marijuana,
like.
Yes.
So
yes.
You can't be on any chemical.
About, yes, because chemicals they
well,
mess up with your body.
Well, let's talk about this real quick. Let me explain why that's so important to say, because most I was in the ER 3 times in the last 3 to 4 months. The first one was a full panic attack right before the El Paso shooting, hours before. My friend Khalees, who I'm talking about, also ended up in the ER that same time. I think
a lot of people
we felt that
girl also ended up in the ER. I'm telling you,
we feel this. We're all connected.
Yes.
Now, but the other two, the second one was a very severe reaction to Lexapro, a more chemical drug, and then the other one was Abilify. So it's interesting, because I'm not against everyone listening. You go to whatever you need, whether it's chemical or plant-based or whatever. But it's interesting that in order to do ayahuasca, it only can be plant-based medicine. You wouldn't be able to be on chemical. Something like Klonopin. What if you were on Klonopin?
What is Klonopin?
It's kind of like a tranquilizer-y thing.
I don't
think you think it would numb it down just a little bit?
Yeah, because the thing is that we're with the grandmother, she's depleting a lot of chemicals from your brain as it is.
Okay.
So it's good just to have the brain fully juiced up enough so you could experience what you need to experience.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
I feel something like that. And also,
how often do you do your ceremonies?
We do it like once a month.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. If someone didn't want to, they didn't have to.
Yeah, but for me, it's like I'm peeling the layer, because I had a rough childhood.
Yes,
so for me
too.
I've been peeling the layers of trauma from my mom. There's just a lot of stuff. And I'm just like everybody, just bringing myself up into, I feel like finally, after working with the medicine 4 years, I'm feeling I'm comfortable with myself to the point where I'm not letting others dictate how I feel. Even though in relationships, I'm still learning how to handle my state of mind, because relationships is like a different monster.
Well, what's going on with the Sri Yantra there is that there's still an imbalance of the masculine and the feminine.
Yes.
So women lose their dominion very quickly.
Yes.
Now, men may feel that too in their own way. So there needs to be more conversations in general about this thing. But I do know a lot of women who lose themselves very quickly and have a hard time
balance
standing in their truth.
Yes.
And feeling balanced, because we lose, there's something, it's something in the collective trauma that's healing, and it hurts both men and women, because everyone wants true harmony, because we have them within. The goddess and the god relies within every one of us. When something's out of relationship in that way, it hurts every single one of us. We all actually want true balance, harmony, and equality. But it's happening now. And that was one of your cards, stabilize your energy fields. We are feeling these shifts. It's happening rapidly. I felt like I was going through portals through your sound healing.
Yes.
I really did. Did you see me making symbols I shot through? At first I was self-conscious, but I was like, you know what? Things are shooting through me to make certain symbols. And they felt very pharaonic poses. And do you know what I'm saying? I felt very tied into Egypt and a lot of my alien friends.
Yes, and you said you were channeling information too.
It was not just information, it was like visual telepathic-y concepts.
Yes.
One was about abundance and in the new earth, where it's not about surviving, it's about thriving. And the flower of life really came in, because there are ancient systems of the way energies can flow and how we can use energy in a way that replenishes. We are still stuck in a system that rapes the earth of her resources. And that is also holographic for what we are doing to women and to men and ourselves in general. So there needs to be a shift into not just how we treat the Mother Earth, but how we're treating ourselves. And just, so I was getting information like that, like, and a lot of sacred geometry, because we have to shift for the Earth to survive and for really humanity to not just survive, but evolve. Because the avatar, the human avatar, is limitless. Its potential is, we are channels of the heavenly lights.
Yeah.
So we reflect back. We're, you know, there are many ways to describe the interesting holographic nature of reality, but it is magic. And what you do and what I do, we help to tune people into their truest, fullest selves. And that's what everyone really aches for, is the freedom to be who they are. And when you're in a relationship that starts to feel off balance, and you can feel yourself not doing things you know that your heart really wants to do, even if you really want that connection, it starts to hurt more to not be who you are.
You know what I'm learning about relationships? Well, before this guy that's in my life right now, I was single 3 years. And what I'm learning about myself is that speaking my truth is, it has to come from like a foundation, like the solar plexus power. It's the power chakra, because you cannot speak your truth unless you have that power. And to say, I am enough, I deserve to speak my truth.
To love yourself enough.
To love myself. And that's what... this is what's happening right now, is that we're starting to honor and grow and step into our truth, into our power, and say, no, screw this. This is what I want. And you stand by it. And you say, no matter what happens, you know what? This is what I want. You know, it's just knowing.
And knowing that you deserve to have your deepest desires and needs met.
Indeed.
And to know, when you really believe in this work and you're really dedicated to being your unique vibration in you, then you're willing to lose things or allow things to fall off. It's like a snake shedding its skin. It doesn't have to be crazy.
Yes.
But you start to learn to surrender to the place where things that fall off do, and things that enter in do. Like, think of the ocean waves coming in and out, and you just say, well, I'm me. We all make mistakes. Once again, that's the Phoenix rising energy. It's like, you always have a chance, even a million times a day, to try again and to learn. And we are, I love the tarot card, the Fool. It's the first card in the deck. It's like, we're fools here on this journey.
We
slip, we fall, but don't get too jaded. And I think things like the sound healing bring you back to that childhood essence of just being excited about life and being filled with life force and wanting to be in the present moment and knowing you're worthy of being happy and abundance. But when you're still steeped in trauma, it's hard to get there.
Because of the tune-up. Remember what the sound is doing is shaking your body, shaking your energy field so much that it's like you're going through a little car wash where you're releasing some trauma. You're really not... little by little, you're releasing traumas, you're releasing stuck energy, you're releasing what no longer serves you, you're releasing old beliefs, you're releasing all of that. So it's giving you like a fresh start in order for you, like that card that you gave me about the angles, the numb, it gives you a different way of looking at life from a different perspective, from a different frequency, from a different vibration. So you could see that maybe what you thought it was devastating is something small. And that's something I'm also learning through that relationship, is don't dwell on what happened. Like, the past is the past. Like, we got to learn also to like be in the present and just don't repeat the pain over and over. Like I said,
yeah, but you can't just that. I know what you're saying, but it's so much easier said than done. Unless no, because it's just, you repeat, no one wants to repeat patterns.
Yes.
So many of us watch ourselves repeat self-destructive patterns and say, you know, it's not just so simple as that. It's like you really have to invest the work in not just things like sound healing, but whether it's therapy or getting like a healer. But, and you kind of talked about this earlier, really being willing to get real.
Yes.
And to not feel, it's to allow the masks to fall off. And I think that's part of the fire.
And that's the work that we're doing in ceremonies. Like the ceremony that we're going to be doing is about facing facing your fears in a way and being head on and being honest. You know what? It's being honest
with
yourself.
So many of us are so scared of being alone, but we already feel alone. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think it's like once we just start talking and once people start admitting, oh, I do feel alone or I do need more community, people are holding in so much unlocked pain. Yes. And I know that all of that helped lead essentially to my ER trips. I needed more attention. Yes. I needed more love and I got it in an emergency room. It was so clear to me.
It is so true.
Yes.
And if we could have built like a more foundation, more a support group, hey, maybe a
community that supports each other, which we're trying to build.
Yeah, maybe a that'd be cool. Why don't we build a community
of panic attacks? That's what we're doing, Brenda. Hello.
A panic attacks whenever you feel like, oh my God, it's coming. We could say, okay, everybody get together. Let's do sound healing. Let's do this. Let's do that.
And I don't think it's that simple either, though, because sometimes when someone's in a panic attack, like for me, when they come on, it becomes, it's not so, it's like that almost makes it sound more carefree than it is. Maybe it is for some. Maybe if it's a lower panic attack, that could work.
Yeah.
Mine were also sometimes medication based where it was a literal reaction to a medication. But sometimes when you're so steeped in that pain, you can't even, the only thing you can do is say, I need help. And that can come, that has to be individual because sometimes you're so scared of being judged or whatever to say, to feel that vulnerable.
Yeah.
But even to call 911. Is a vulnerable move of I need help. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes,
especially when it's something that's not necessarily physical. I was throwing up and having physical reactions to the medication, but I also knew it was an emotional thing. I think we need to heal the stigma around mental illness. It can't be used as a weapon. Everyone loves calling everyone else mentally ill. I have a quote painted on my wall. We're all mad here. It's like you can't throw that around anymore. There are people who have been called mentally ill for decades who actually had gifts and no one believed them.
Yes.
So, you know, there are a lot of people who just need to be seen and understood. And there's a lot of people just, once again, the masks, the hiding. And in our workshop, this whole podcast is not just to plug our workshop because I know a lot of you can't come, but you have to find ways to, whether it's sound healing, yoga, drumming, like find ways to tune up your
even
soul.
Dancing. The other night I went to my favorite, my local bar. It's called Michi's. On Wednesdays, they have house music and they have DJ. And my friend went over and he plays the conga. So he was doing the conga, ta-ta-ta-ra-ra. Oh my God, next to the DJ, you guys, I closed my eyes. Oh my God, I was able to release all this trauma that I've been feeling because of my new relationship, because I've been feeling this anxiety that I couldn't express myself, that I couldn't be myself, that... that again, I was being sucked into like a relationship where I was like, in a way, not happy.
Yeah.
And, but yet I know I'm not happy because his trauma, he has a lot of pain body.
Let's not go into his trauma because I feel a lot of people in relationships where it may or may not be meant to work.
Yes.
Love focusing on the other person's trauma.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
No. And I have literally had a set such a hard, because I have a lot of friends who would love to spend hours talking about their boyfriend's trauma to me.
Yeah.
And I'm
instead
like,
of looking at themselves, which
I'm
is
here.
That is where the responsibility lies. You're right.
And it's because a lot of times their trauma that they're not dealing with
I agree.
Is linked to their superpowers they're not opening.
Right. And because nothing happens by accidents. Everything is
Amen.
Synchronized. So everybody that walks into our lives is a teacher. So what I'm, in a way, what I'm saying, he's an amazing teacher. He has been able to teach me to see my own, what is it that I'm doing that is causing the pain. And it is so beautiful to
and
be
hard
able
to
and
look
hard.
At yourself.
And
yeah.
I was able to do it on Wednesday night. I closed my eyes and started dancing to those congas.
Yes.
And I was able to see what I was doing.
Beautiful.
What I was allowing and what was coming into my experience for me to control and dominate and understand and evolve and move through. And like you said, feel the pain and go through it. And I felt a shift after Wednesday. Like, I saw him, I think, last night, and I didn't feel the same way for him. It changed the energy pattern of our relationship. It was so interesting.
When people start to really allow themselves to be who they really are and to vibrate to who they're really meant to be with. Mm-hmm. And you can only do that when you really start being who you are, but you have to deal with the trauma that kept you from not. But
yes.
It's so beautiful when you just start saying, this is me.
Yes.
And I'm beautiful as me.
Yes.
And it's hard. And we all have the light and the dark within. That's why I love non-duality and shadow work is like, it's okay to have a shadow self. It's okay to be bitchy or cranky or asshole-y sometimes. It's not okay to act out or like punch someone or, but we all make mistakes too. But Phoenix Rising.
No. Phoenix Rising.
But yeah, everyone can, you know, this is a path of constant recorrection or lessons or growing or evolution and
growing,
there's never too late.
Evolution.
And it's about being more and more of you and bringing more and more of your truest essence down here into this physically manifested world, which is always shifting and evolving like the beautiful kaleidoscope and mosaic
so
we are.
Beautiful. I love that.
And we kind of got to wrap it up.
Awesome. Oh my God.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for doing the sound healing. It was really amazing. And anyone who can, who's in the area of like New York, New Jersey, Philly, come to our workshop November 21st. I think I said, what is it, 6 p.m.? Didn't
yes,
I make it
I
6?
Think 6 or 6:30.
I think
two?
I did 6.
6.
But check the, you know, it's all my social media. There's an Eventbrite. It's Phoenix Rising with Kate Wolf and Brenda Castaño.
Castaño, yes.
Castaño. And it's going to be filled with the sound healing. There will be tarot in there, some channeling. We're going to be doing ritual. There will be some drumming and movements and dance and bringing all the dancing of bringing in your inner goddess and just letting the movements and intuitively come through you in a safe, sacred environment where we will, Brenda and I will not judge what movements and things.
Yes, it's so beautiful. Sound and dancing is so healing, you guys. Another suggestion for you guys to look for healing is journey dancing. Journey dancing is another technique to release trauma.
Where can people find?
I don't know. Just Google it because it's just a rare class, just like sound healing.
Okay.
But if you guys can find journey dancing, it's
is it journey dancing or journal?
Journey dancing.
Journey dancing.
Yes, I'm sorry for my accent.
No, I love the accent.
I need to honor myself. I haven't.
No, I love it. I just wanted to make sure that they were looking into the right thing.
I did one like 2 weeks ago. Oh my God, I cried. I cried so much. And seriously, that also shifted my healing. So I'm telling you,
dance
there's lots.
Is so important.
Yes, it's amazing.
My friend Jess, she is a dance healer. Like that's her. She has a company, You Can Dance Again. And it's about bringing that inner dancer that a lot of people have shut down.
Yes.
Out. So I don't know if she's able to come to the event, but like just her classes and her movements. And obviously now I feel like I have to give another shout out to my other friend, Allison, who's a shaman, who uses all other kinds of instruments. And she's a shaman. Yes. She has like all these other tools. And I mean, her gifts are also unreal and go beyond that. But where can they find you other than coming to our event November 21st? Where do you have a website or where can people go?
Aquarian Yoga in Westfield. You could find me there, Brenda Castano. I'm a sound healer. And then there I also have my own little website. I don't know my own address because it's like a little website created a long time ago because I also do hypnosis. But you could check me out there. Definitely.
Could people hire you for like a private event or party to do a sound healing for like a group?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
And so what's your, do you have an email or what should they do?
My email is bcastano1@gmail.com.
So if any of you want to have who are in New Jersey, or I'm sure you're willing to travel for the right amount of money, but she could even do like a 45 minute to hour session for a group.
For a group, definitely. It's magical, definitely.
So thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like a non-dual Kabbalistic healing, which I gave Brenda as well.
My God, it was amazing. Let me tell you guys, after this, I felt so zen and I, oh, wow. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk that much about it,
no,
but
it's
it was
okay.
Oh my God, she is so powerful. I love you. Thank you. That was
you're
such
welcome.
Amazing.
It was an honor to get to, that was her first non-dual Kabbalistic healing. So
yes.
They go very deep. So any of you who want that, it's kwolf2fs27@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram at the Kate Wolf. And thank you all so much for listening. Oh, I have another event. Oh my God, did I lose my calendar when my, so by the way, my phone completely died and I lost all my contacts. And now I'm realizing I might've lost like my calendar that has all my
events.
I mean, I know the November, it's fine. I'll figure it out. But I'm just like, oh, shit.
Universe, don't worry. We're going to channel it
in. They just wiped my calendar.
We're going to bring it back.
Oh, my gosh.
Bring it back.
We'll see.
Bring
okay.
it back.
Oh, boy. Okay. I just have to come. I just came to terms with the fact that my calendar probably just got wiped. So I'll have to remember. So, okay.
But I'm sure you could contact some people that could remember.
If I miss a meeting, I miss a meeting. It's
yes.
What are you going to do?
Yes.
Hopefully
oh
I
God.
Won't.
I know
hopefully
what you mean.
I won't. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you can come to our November 21st event. That I have remembered anyway.
Yes.
6 to 8 in Islin, New Jersey. Address given to you once you purchase the tickets on Eventbrite. So hope to see you there. But like I said, you know, I can do healings. I can do them over Skype and FaceTime. And then Brenda, she can really, if you're in the tri-state area and you're willing to pay her correctly, she can do like for a group of you,
yes.
a really beautiful, I mean, it's hard to describe what she can do. So, and she is good. So
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it would be you. Good for events. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for coming on, Brenda.
Thank you guys. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Namaste.
Namaste.
Fuck it up. Fuck it up. Fuck it up. Fuck it up. Yeah, you like it. 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 Yeah, you like it.